So we're continuing some classes on japa meditations from Dhanadhara Swami's book. This is an introduction from Nityananda. I mean, the explanation by Nityananda. The main realization is that one should prepare the heart before chanting. If the heart is prepared by surrender and humility, then naturally the mind will also become absorbed. Therefore, after I take a bath in the morning, and before I do any other spiritual activity, I start my morning by offering prostrated obeisances to all the acharyas, beginning with my Diksha Guru and Shiksha Gurus. I then pray to all the major devotees and acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya in our line. Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Gaurakishore, Bhaktivinoda, Six Goswamis, Ishwar Puri, Madhavendra Puri, and finally Gaur Nitai. So this devotee, he's giving some idea about how to improve the quality of chanting by preparing. This is preparation. Before an airplane takes off, there's so much checking of the airplane and everything's working properly before it taxis down the runway. They turn the propellers around here and there, and then the plane takes off. So he's saying, before I chant japa, I prepare my heart. So he prepares his heart by humility. These two qualities, humility and surrender. So how does he develop the quality of humility and surrender? He offers prayers. He offers humble prayers to all the acharyas. And then after he prays to all the acharyas, then he prays to all the main holy dhams. Navadvipa Dham, Jagannath Puri, and Braja Dham. And finally I pray to the personalities residing in those places like Brindadevi, Govardhan, Gangadevi, Jamuna, and particularly Chakaleshwar Mahadev, because I'm staying now in Govardhan. I especially pray to Chakaleshwar Mahadev to protect my consciousness from offenses. It takes me about 15 minutes to complete all these obeisances, but when I am finished, my heart is much better prepared to accept the holy name with the proper attitude. So, first he said all the acharyas, so he says he's paying obeisances. He thinks it's something like Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das used to offer 2,000 obeisances a day to the Vaishnavas. So this devotee is saying, first, before I even pick up my beads, I offer pranams to the Vaishnavas, to my Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru and all the gurus in the parampara. So then he'll say, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Ki Jai, and offer obeisances. And then I'll pray, oh Bhakti Siddhanta, please bless me. Please give me your mercy so that my chanting will be pure, so my chanting will be attentive. And I'll chant with humility, great humility, because this is required. Trinadapi Sunichena Turoriva Sahishuna Amanina Amanidena Kirtaniya Sundari. So he prays to the previous acharyas, please bless me that my chanting is full of humility and full of surrender. Then the next one, and the same prayer, and the next one. Then he prays to Brindadevi, Govardhan, and Lord Shiva. So when I'm finished, my heart is much better prepared to accept the holy name with the proper attitude. So if you spend 15 minutes offering obeisances, standing up, then offering obeisances, standing up, offering obeisances, and remembering all these great acharyas, then naturally, when you pick up the beads, you'll feel something. So he's suggesting this as a technique for chanting. So he's spending 15 minutes, and he feels that this is very helpful and important. He's offering dhanavats, actually. By this process of continuously falling down on the floor to offer dhanavat pranams, it has a powerful effect on the heart. It naturally inspires the feeling that I am a servant, such a small servant. Then I am such a small servant, but I have such great masters. So he's paying a dandavats. He's my Diksha Guru, then dandavats. And then my Param Guru Prabhupada, then dandavats. He's thinking like this. He's a new devotee. So then I'm a servant of these great masters. They're so devoted, they're so intelligent, they're so renounced, they're so dedicated, they're so pure, they're so empowered. They're so great. I'm very small, I'm very insignificant, but my masters are great. Finally, the sense, the sense of complete shelter comes. So he's saying, finally, if we keep doing this 15 minutes a day, offering dandavats to the holy places, to the main personalities in those holy places, like Jagannath Puri Dham, Kijai, offer dandavats, and you remember Lord Jagannath, and remember Haridas Thakur, remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, remember Bimala Devi, or remember Shankar Bhagavan, whatever. He says what happens is that this sense, the feeling that you're getting shelter comes. Sometimes the reciprocation and experience is so tangible that one can even feel the presence of these personalities before one, as if one was actually standing before one's guru. So this is a pretty profound experience he's having. He's offering obeisances, and then he's feeling the tangible presence. Of course, he must have done this quite a bit. And this devotee is a very serious chanter of japa, not just some ordinary person. He's studying Sanskrit at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust Sanskrit School at Govardhan. He's a new devotee. He says that many acharyas have sung the glories of this practice of offering dandavats. In one song, Narottam Das Thakur writes that for anyone who sincerely pays obeisances to these great personalities, the obstacles on the path of pure devotion will be removed and all spiritual desires will be fulfilled. There's a very nice story to illustrate this principle. Once Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was leaving Mayapur by car in the rainy season, and there was mud everywhere, heavy mud was up to the knees. People were standing up to their knees in mud. One disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta fell down in the mud to offer full obeisances, dandavats, completely ruining his clothes. Bhaktisiddhanta noticed him. Bhaktisiddhanta stopped the car. He got out of the car and he asked his disciple, "Why did you offer dandavats to me and fall down in the mud?" The disciple humbly replied with folded hands, "This obeisance is my only wealth." When I read this anecdote, this devotee is saying, and this quotation of the disciple, "This obeisance is my only wealth," I was thinking, actually, how little wealth I have myself. I should also have some wealth like this by paying obeisances to these souls. So this is a nice point he's saying. The power of dandavats. So we can think about adding that to our chanting. Because sometimes we're complaining, "Oh, my chanting is not going very well. I'm very sleepy in my chanting. I don't have much attachment. My chanting." So then we can try this dandavat program. It takes 15 minutes. Because humility is actually the entrance to the chanting. And admittedly, most of us are pretty proud. They have a phrase in English, they say, "The pauper is proud of his penny." Pauper means a daridra, a poor person. He has only a penny, only has 1 rupee, but he's proud. "Hey, listen, I have 1 rupee. This other guy in the street, he has nothing. He has 0 rupees. Now, this is the nature of pride, that we can be proud of any little thing we have. You know, we got a new notebook. See, I have a new notebook. You have an old notebook. I'm better than you are. Pride is a very insidious enemy. So this pride, it's all pervading. So when we approach the holy name, we don't go in it with a very humble attitude, a very submissive attitude. So when one's paying obeisances to all these acharyas, then naturally he's developed, this practice brings out humility. We had the experience in Kartik. We have our dandavat pranam program, and it takes about half hour or so. I would 150 or 100 and so basins is. And after we finish, everyone's laughing, everyone feels happy. Feels quite good. It's some that we feel some connection with these devotees. And of course, this was the regular practice of many of the Goswamis. Sankhya Puravakanama Gana Natibi. Sankhya Natibi. Natibi, this is Srinivasacharya's glorification of the six Goswamis. Natibi means offering obeisances. The word Natibi means offering obeisances. So they were doing that in a number of times every day, Sankhya. Paying obeisances is bad for the knees, but it's good for the heart. So Niranjan Swami says this, this is what I find very helpful. I meditate on my exclusive dependence upon the holy name. Exclusive dependence on the holy name. So this means that we have to surrender our independence. In other words, now we're very independent. We feel, I have no other shelter but the holy name. And we feel dependent on the holy name, that yes, this is my only shelter, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Because now most people are dependent on their wealth or their position or their power. But devotees, what do we have? We have Krishna's holy name. It's our real shelter. So this is Niranjan Swami, one of our leading devotees. He says, along with endeavoring to remember the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes, I meditate on my exclusive dependence upon the holy name. The consciousness that I try to cultivate while chanting is the feeling of unworthiness to chant the holy name purely, the feeling of inability to be fully engaged in devotional service, and the feeling of insufficiency in love for Krishna. In other words, the feeling of inadequacy. Like, what service am I rendering to Krishna? Oh yes, I'm Krishna's devotee. I'm Krishna's servant. I'm serving Krishna. Really, I'm serving Krishna? Who is Krishna served by? He's served by Mother Yashoda. What intensity of love she has and attachment she has. And served by Radharani. And I can claim, yes, they're servants of Krishna. Yes, I'm also a servant of Krishna. It's like a joke. It's like seva abhas. It's like a semblance. It's an abhas. It's a semblance of service. It's not really service. So how can we serve with these weak minds and these weak bodies? And what is our heart? Are we crying when we chant Krishna's name? Are we serving with the heart? Are we serving with our feelings? Even our minds or even our bodies may be serving, but our minds are somewhere else. You know, our bodies are mechanically going through some motion of artik or something. But the real service is the heart. So this is a nice point. He's saying, I feel unworthy to chant Krishna's name. I can't chant purely. What is my chanting? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's like some parrot or some mechanical vibration. Some parrot, repetition of a parrot. And devotional service, barely I do any devotional service every day. I spend so much time bathing and eating and dressing and arranging for food and arranging for dressing and arranging for sleeping. The time just flies by. And when do I actually sit down? How much of the day do I actually sit down and render devotional service to Krishna? Actually sit down and do something that really gives him pleasure. And I do that with a favorable mind. And it's something, yes, Krishna, you will be pleased if I chant this holy name purely. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So that intense mood, that surrendered and pure mood, I hold on to for about 5 minutes. Hare Krishna, and after about 5 minutes, my mind flies off somewhere else. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Well, later I have to do this, and later I have to do that, and Hare Krishna, and here and there. So even that so-called offering of devotional service of the chanting of Krishna's name is mixed up with all kinds of personal considerations, personal planning, personal desiring. A very profound statement he's saying. inability, the feeling of insufficiency and love for Krishna. One must consider himself so much in need of the mercy of Krishna and so much dependent on Krishna that Krishna is drawn to reciprocate with those sincere feelings. And when you really, like that was what Pankajangri is saying, if you really need the mercy and really want the mercy, then the mercy will come. So to really be dependent on Krishna, Krishna, please give me your mercy. I can't control my mind by myself. I can't control my senses by myself. Krishna, please help me. Krishna, please help me. So he says, before meditating on Krishna's pastimes while chanting, I try to absorb myself for a period of time in meditating how much I am in need of the mercy. I look at all my inadequacies and the unwanted things that are within my heart and realize that unless I get mercy, I have no hope. So this is a very nice point. He's saying that I am really inadequate. I'm really unqualified, incapable of actually serving Krishna. I think, my service is giving lecture, my service is preaching. But what is my lecture? What is my preaching? It's nothing. There's no bhav, there's no realization, there's no tattva siddhanta, just some speaking. So it's not much of an offering. If this is the service, then what is the quality? So many other devotees, they give such wonderful lectures, such realized lectures, such powerful lectures, and full of bhav and feelings. So anyway, maybe Krishna, please be merciful to me and accept my small offering, my attempt to render some service, although it's certainly fraught with all kinds of inadequacies and insufficiencies. So he actually, before he actually chants and tries to meditate on Krishna's pastimes, he takes some time out to pray to Krishna. Krishna, please give me your mercy. Krishna, please give me your mercy. O Gauranga Mahaprabhu, please give me your mercy. If you don't give me your mercy, what can I do on my own? I have no hope. So this seems to be the theme because has like four pages of discussion. By first looking at my own inadequacies, in other words, I'm not adequate, I'm not sufficient, I'm not capable, I'm not qualified, and realizing my utter dependence on the holy name, my chanting automatically becomes meaningful because I can see a direct connection between my chanting and my deepest needs. That deep desire in the heart for shelter is thus the main relevant feeling that is immediately accessible to me when chanting. This is a very nice point. He says, there's a connection. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm chanting Japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And this is it's connected with something. What is it connected with? It's connected to me. What part? What about me? My deepest need. What is my deepest need? I need shelter and I need mercy. I need Krishna's shelter and Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, I'm a hopeless case. I have no position. So this become, when I chant the holy name, when I'm chanting Krishna's name, this awareness comes very clearly in my mind. This feeling comes very powerfully and prominently in my heart. This deep desire for Krishna's mercy and for shelter. This is the main relevant feeling that I can capture, that I can pick up when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. It's a very nice point. Naranjan Swami Ki. The mood of utter helplessness should always be kept at every stage of a devotee's advancement in Krishna consciousness. So when a child is born and he's trying to walk, he feels so helpless, he can't do anything. He can't feed himself. He can't clean himself, he can't even evacuate without the assistance of his mother, some external influence or help. So he's actually a totally helpless, physically helpless situation. So a devotee is like a baby. We're also helpless, or at least we should cultivate that mood of utter helplessness. And this, we never think, I'm advanced, I'm very fixed up, I'm very steady, oh, I'm in nishta, I'm in ruchi, I'm in asakti bhava, I'm very fixed up. No, the feeling is always, I feel very helpless. Another point he makes is gratitude is very important. To feel grateful, to feel thankful for the help that we've received from others, from teachers, from friends, from relatives, the help that they've given us to push us towards God and to increase our surrender and service. We should be grateful. And this feeling of gratitude stimulates one to serve and to feelingly chant Krishna's name. So we've received so much from Krishna, and we're receiving so much from Krishna at every moment of our lives. Our very progress is due to the mercy of Krishna. So we're grateful. Yes, Krishna, we're making some progress. We're making some advancement by your mercy. So I'm grateful. What to speak of the maintenance and the providing whatever we need. One should feel grateful for the smallest realization, the smallest reciprocation from the holy name. So when we chant the holy name, often we get some realizations, as we're hearing about all these realizations in this book. So when that realization comes, that realization is a gift of the holy name itself. So then we thank the holy name. Oh, I'm chanting and I realize that I have to chant. Sometimes we get the realization that 16 rounds is not enough. I was chanting so many months and thinking 16 was fine, and that was a goal that I always worked for every day and tried to complete every day. And now something is coming in my mind that actually 16 is not enough. Although I've read it so many places, but now it's becoming mine. When I read that Prabhupada says we should chant 16 rounds on the beads and unlimited rounds off the beads, and we should always be chanting, okay, I read all these things, but I haven't realized it deeply that I've been quite satisfied. I chant 16, I did my quota, I'm a good guy, I'm in the club, I paid my membership fees, I can come inside the club, I have my card, my membership has not been revoked, and so I'm a card-carrying member of the Hare Krishna movement. Because I dutifully chant my 16 rounds every day. I'm a very good brownie, very good guy. I get a pat on the back and a gold star by my name. Look, Mom, I did it. I did it. I did 16 rounds. Wow, you're great. Wow, so wonderful. Here, have a cookie. So it goes on like that for a long time. And then once, sometime or other, when we're chanting, we get a profound realization from the holy name that, listen, Jack, this is not enough. Anore, anore, anore. Give me more, give me more, give me more. Krishna's demanding. He's an autocrat. He's an absolute dictator, a dictator of love. And he's demanding more chanting, more giving, more surrender, more love. So we say, all right, all right. I'll chant more. Now you're happy? No, Baba. It's not for my happiness. It's for your purification. That's why I gave you this realization. Chant more, serve more, serve more, chant more. Serve more, chant more, realize more and more. Now he says, any time I can call out Krishna's name under any circumstances, Krishna will manifest. It is a simple realization, but to me it is most profound, that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is so kind that he extends himself to his devotees in such an accessible form. When gratitude is awakened, the desire, the force, or the impetus to call out Krishna's name with love becomes natural. I am so grateful that Krishna is accessible in his name and that at any time I can call out his name. So this is a very wonderful realization of Srila Niranjan Swami Maharaj. That he's obviously getting a high taste of chanting and experiencing gratitude as an aspect of love. So he's experiencing some deep feelings of love for Krishna's holy name and for Krishna. That Krishna will manifest, just like he manifested Prahlad Maharaj. And under any circumstance, it is a simple realization. That's what this revered Swami says. Actually, it's not so simple, but he's saying it's a simple realization. But to me, it's profound that Krishna is so kind that he extends himself to his devotees in such an accessible form. Hare Krishna! And there's Krishna. Krishna's right there. Not difficult. What do they have? The access? Computer access? What do they call it? Yeah, internet access, unlimited access. So Krishna is giving, everyone can get connection, internet connection, interconnection, inter-Krishna connection, enter-Krishna connection. Simply by chanting. This is some points from offering by Srimati. Srimati has popularized this 108 stones or steps in different temples, beginning in Mayapur, where they have 108 stones going around Tulsi. And yatris and pilgrims come to visit the temple or to the holy dham of Mayapur. And they stand on one stone or painted step and they chant one mantra. They have a set of V's or a pair of V's. They chant one Maha Mantra, then they step on the next one. When they finish 108, that's considered one round. And they get some little piece of paper that they chanted one round. And people like it. It's become very popular. In Prabhupada's Samadhi upstairs, they have 108 little circles painted on the floor, on the marble floor. And people come and they don't even have beads, but they stand on one, they stand on another, then they get a piece of paper. I chanted 108. She's done a lot. It's become very popular in Delhi temple that's outside around the Garuda Stumbha. East of Kailash, they paint these little lotuses. And you step on one by one and you circumambulate Garuda as you do it. Circumambulate Garuda. And then they chant. Then they get a piece of paper. International Society, this certifies that. Then they write their name. And this has chanted one round in the Holy Dham of Mayapur. And may you continue to chant one round for the rest of your life. There's something like this, they promise or whatever. They chant the one round and they say, well, if you want this certificate, you promise to chant one round every day. So she had this idea, because so many yatris were coming to the Holy Dham and not really doing any Nam Seva. Just looking at the kirtan and going out. So she got them, thousands and thousands of people come every day and chant one round. So this is Srimati's Dasi's effort and power to spread the holy name. She's telling here one portion, it is important to understand that how you live your life obviously has a lot to do with how successfully you will be able to enter the world of Nam. In other words, your lifestyle. Your lifestyle determines your Nam style. Lifestyle determines your Nam style. Like you say, oh, he's very stylish. She's up with the latest style and fashions. So we should be very stylish. Our lifestyle should be molded in such a way that it provides the optimum chanting and absorption in the holy name. So our lifestyle has a lot to do with our Nam style. What do you do before you take rest every night? Before you take rest, what is the state or the position of your consciousness? If you develop a habit before you take rest every night of becoming introspective and prayerful before taking rest, And you can do this by singing some bhajans or chanting astakams just before you take rest. Then your consciousness will be on a higher level when you wake up the next morning. Then when you wake up, the first thing you should do upon rising is to beg for the mercy of Sri Guru, the Acharyas and the Vaishnavas, and then sing the glories of Nam. Sing the glories of Nam means you can recite some prayers, memorize some prayers in glorification of the name Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Anasteva, 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 Gatiranyata, Krite Yadayato Vishnam, Tretayam, Yajato Makai, Dvaparaye Paricharyayam, Kalo Tad Hari Kirtana, Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishnam Sango Pangashta Parshadam Yagya Sankirtana Prayar Hi Yajanti Hi Sumeda Shaha Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigra Purna Shuro Nitya Mukta Vinatvam Namanamano Nivritta Tarshe Rupagi Yamadad Pavoshadi Chotrabano Biramat Hutama Shloka Gunana Vadat Puman Virahiti Vina Pashukat Shri Hari Nam Prabhu Ki Jai, Shri Hari Nam Prabhu Ki Jai, Shri Hari Nam Prabhu Ki Jai, Shri Hari Krishna Maha Mantra Ki Jai. If you do this, you will be easily able to enter your bhajan in the mood of a humble, enthusiastic servant. We want to deal with the feelings of the transcendental soul, of our real heart. And that is a completely different realm or world from which we usually live in. The heart world. The soul world. We can only do that by entering into Nam's realm on his terms. In other words, we have to enter the world of the holy name. On the terms of the holy name. What does that mean? That means, O Holy Name, O Sri Nam Prabhu, I am your servant. I want to reestablish my eternal relationship with you. But not just as Krishna's servant, but also a servant of Krishna's servant. Meditation on the fifth verse of Shikshastakam makes that clear. Ai nanda tanu chakinkaram patitam mam ashame vavam vado Kripiyatava Padapankaja Stita Duli Sadrisham Vajintya. Actually, right now, there are so many Shudanam Bhaktas situated at the feet of Krishna. Stita Duli Sadrisham Vajintya. So many devotees who are chanting pure name. Actually, that is the place where we belong. We belong at the lotus feet of the Lord. We belong in the association of these Shudanam Bhaktas at Krishna's feet. It's actually very difficult to find a Shudanam Bhakta. But our begging to the holy name should be for that association with souls who are dedicated to Nam. The heart has to be involved in the process of bhajan. If the attitude is right, and the heart is yearning and hankering for Krishna, then a mood of pure greed, of intense desire, will certainly fulfill our spiritual desires by the mercy and grace of the holy name. A most essential thing to realize if we want to enter deeply into Nam Bhajan is that the Nam, the holy name of Krishna, is a person with deep emotions. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Nam is a person with deep emotions. Rasaraj, Mahabhav Srinam Prabhu. There's a conclusion here to her entry. Never underestimate the mercy of Patita Pavan Gora, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Gauranga, Sachinandan, who is the savior of the fallen souls in Kali Yuga. Sachinandan Gora Hari Ki Jai. And never underestimate the mercy of Adosha Darshi, Darshi Nitai. Adosh. Dosh means faults. And Adosh. Dosh Darshan, or Dosh. We have Dura Darshan? Television. So this is Dosh Darshan. Darshan means to see or vision. Dosh means faults or problems or anomalies. So Nitai, one of the most beneficial qualities of Lord Nityananda is he is a dosha darashi. He does not see the faults of anyone else. Did Nitai see the faults in Jagai and Madhai? No. They were hopelessly fallen, literally and figuratively, lying on the street in a drunken stupor, had committed every possible sin. Yet he did not think, oh, they're fallen, they're sinful, they're bad, they're Sindhis, they're Punjabis, they're Americans, they're Chinese, they're Russian, they're fat, they're thin, they're tall, they're short. He didn't see any adosha darshi. He didn't see any faults. He just saw with the eyes of love, and he saw with the eyes of compassion. And he saw with the order of the Lord in his mind. Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shiksha. Mahabhu told Nitai to tell everyone, Amara Agaya Guru Hanataridesh. Oh Nitai, go to Bengal and tell everyone you see, everyone you meet, to worship Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Bolo Krishna, to chant Krishna's name, and Koro Krishna Shiksha, to carry out the orders of Krishna. This is the order. And so he is known for that. One is Patita Pavan, the lifter and purifier of the fallen. So Gauranga is this personality. Patita Pavan Gaur. Patita Pavan Gauranga Ki Jai. Kali Yuga Patita Pavan Avatar Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Jayashta Chinandana Gora Hari Vishnu Priya Prana Natha Nadiya Bihari Jaya Shachinandana Gora Hari Vishnu Priya Prana Natha Nadiya Bihari Jaya Shachinandana Gora Hari Vishnu Priya Prana Natha Nadiya Bihari Jaya Shachinandana Gora Hari Vishnu Priya Prana Natha Nadiya Bihari Jaya Sachinandana Gora Hari Gadadhara Prana Natha Nadiya Bihari Jaya Sachinandana Gora Hari Gadadhara Prana Natha Nadiya Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Patita Pavan Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Sachinandana Gaura Hari Ki Jai. Adosha Darshi Nitai Ki Jai Nityananda Ram Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe Shyam. This is Keshav Bharati Das Goswami's some realizations. Very interesting concept. The most important point about attentive chanting is to focus on where I vibrate the name from. It's kind of a variation on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's statement. Our holy name should not be lip deep. It should be heart deep. It should not be labial. Labial nam. Labial means lips. It should not be labial nam. It should be heart nam. This is the origin of pure nam, from the heart. A very interesting viewpoint. I found most effective is to vibrate the name deeply within the throat and then to bring that sound vibration to where the soul resides, the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he's saying, I try to vibrate the name deeply in my throat, because the deeper part of the throat means closer to the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Deep in my throat, then I bring that to my heart, because that's where the soul is residing. The jivatma is floating on the five airs, the panch pran. The panch pran, the jiva, has five life airs. Pana pran, apana pran, whatever, there's five different ones. So the soul is floating on those five airs in the region of the heart. By vibrating the holy name deeply within one's throat in this way, to the point where the name is coming from, the heart itself, one can feel the presence of name throughout one's being. I vibrate the name deeply in my vocal cords. I feel the vibration spreading throughout my body, my entire being and identity. Then I draw that sound of Krishna's holy name into my heart, so that my chanting is centered directly from there. That is the end of his entry. It's short but powerful. So he's chanting the holy name very deeply. As Prabhupada often said, that when one purport on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says, when one chants the holy name, three things should be involved. The upper lip should move, the lower lip should move, and the tongue. And the ears are hearing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, no, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Prabhupada said the upper lip should move, lower lip should move. Then, of course, ultimately the heart. Here the chanting is physically being done. The chanting is physically being done from deep in the throat, upper lip, lower lip, deeply done, vibrating the vocal cords. And then we're trying to fill our whole being. The holy name is spreading. It's almost like the flow of blood. Blood is pumped. Blood is flowing through the heart. The heart is like a pump. The heart is a pump. And it's pumping the fresh blood out to the body and bringing in the old blood from the body. Incoming blood and outgoing blood. So this, he's sending the holy name like the flow of blood all through his being, all through his body. His hands, the holy name is going to his hands and to his feet and his legs, everywhere. And then is coming, that holy name is coming back into his heart. And spread, and he feels the presence of the holy name throughout his whole being. Krishna's name is in my hands, my heart, my head, everywhere. It's quite an interesting meditation. It almost sounds like Art of Living or something. Try to feel the presence of, feel the your identity in your hands. You're the hand and you're the foot. But here he's saying, feel the name. I vibrate the name deeply in my vocal cords. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And I feel that vibration of Krishna's name spreading throughout my body. So the vibration of Krishna's name is spreading throughout my arms, my chest, my legs, everywhere it's spreading. My whole identity is saturated with the holy name. Then I pull that holy name, I pull that name into my heart region. So then my chanting, my chanting expanded. Expansion and contraction. You understand? This is expansion, this is contraction. Contraction, expansion. So first I expand my chanting throughout my whole being, to my legs, my arms, my head, everything. Then I bring it to my heart region. I withdraw the chanting from my whole being and I place it in my heart region. I compress it, contract it, bring it to my heart region. And then I center my chanting there in my heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Hare. It's very interesting what he's doing. He's expanding, he's spreading the holy name all over, and then he's pulling it all back. Like you throw a net out and then you pull it back. So he's spreading the holy name throughout his body and being. Then he's pulling it back and centering it in his heart and collecting it. He's concentrating and collecting the holy name, keeping it in the core of his heart. Then from that center, heart center, then he's spreading the holy name. My chanting is centered directly from there. So this is called heart, lip deep chanting and heart deep chanting. So he begins on the lip deep platform, and then he spreads, then he brings it back to heart deep platform, then he keeps his chanting on the heart platform. He's chanting, he centers his chanting in the heart and he chants from there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Heartfelt chanting. Genuine chanting. Chanting like the genuine crying of a child separated from his mother, like a lost child crying in separation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. A further elaboration on this point we can see is that we can put your fingers like this and put them over your right chest, and your heart is about here, a little bit to the right of the tips of your fingers is where the sense of touch is most developed. So I'm not saying palm, you put your palm there, you can't feel. Palm doesn't feel much. Fingertips are highly sensitive. So you just put your hand there. Lower. Just try to figure out where your heart is. It's a little bit. And now, chant deep within the throat, and then imagine I'm chanting deeply in my throat, and I'm bringing the holy name, I'm spreading the holy name through my being, and I'm bringing it to where my fingers are. I'm bringing the holy name, I'm directing the holy name here. I'm telling holy name, please come to my heart. My fingers are pointing the way to the heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And I'm praying to Krishna, I'm praying to Guru, please, O holy name, please enter my heart. Please deeply enter my heart and stay in my heart.